Going to be in the book of 2 Peter this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21. The title of the word is Knowing This First. I woke early yesterday morning, about 3 o'clock, and I never know exactly what I'm going to speak. I already had a word, and I had a word before that, and a word before that, and have them all written down, but I'd have you to know this first. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Peter said, knowing this first. Now that alone, of all the things that we read and all the things we know in Scripture, and Peter said, knowing this first. This is the first thing that we're to know. And so, rather you've been walking with the Lord for one day or 1,000 days or however long, know this first. That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now that's very significant, it's very relevant. It said, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Get that? It didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'd have you to know that the Bible, this book that we have open before us, it interprets itself. It needs no help from man. As much as man seems to want to help, and of all these things, when I come to something at times and I'm looking up a word and I look on the computer and you get all of these thoughts and these things of man. But the Bible needs no help from man. Almost all Bible teaching and preaching today seems to be based on man's reasoning, all about man. And this cannot be. I know of a local church here. I was talking to a man about it yesterday, and I knew some of the things they did there, but he told me some things that I really was amazed that people still fell for stuff like that and what they do in that church. And they'll go up and they said that they have these people that are called catchers, and they tap the people on the forehead and they fall back and they get healed, but the next week they're back and they got the same problem and they fall back and they get healed and I know some people and I know those things go on, but I know some people that are involved in that movement. And some of them are professors at the local college. These are college-educated individuals. And to think that people fall for that stuff, but I shouldn't be surprised. People tell me all the time, when they see all of these charlatan acts that a car dealer might, I'm in the automobile business, and they say, well, who would believe that? Excuse me. Who would fall for that? Listen. They come by the masses. P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born every minute, and there he is. Man is never to judge the Bible. The Bible itself is the judge. This book is the judge. When you open this book, you're to lay your reasoning aside. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. You're going to form God after your own image. I like the phrase, two words, let God. You hear me? Always remember, let God. Because we'll come to a point in our walk or in our reasoning or in our Bible, and then we'll start to fret, and we'll start to look, and we'll start to do all. We'll just let God. Sit back and let God. Never bear the Bible to your reasoning. I hope you understand that. Compare Scripture to Scripture, precept upon precept, and just let God. I can't think of a single denomination today that isn't based on the reasoning of man. I can't think of a single one. As you've heard me say, the two most dangerous words I know where I think. And all of these men over the years, and I'll read something as I'm doing now, and I'll read something that's the truth of God's word, and they go, well, I think. And I say, well, I don't want to know what you think. You know, in the Bible, there's nothing natural. Somebody's not on mute on their phone. Either George or Jeff or Dennis. There you go. There's nothing natural in burying your underwear by a river and then God telling you to bury it and then dig it up and wear it. That's not a natural thing, and there's nothing natural about a preacher walking naked in the earth for 3 years. There's nothing natural about a prophet having to make his bread out of cow dung. But these are things that are in the Bible that God said do. There's nothing natural when our Lord said that he got his money from the fish's mouth. What's natural about that? It's a supernatural book. I serve a supernatural God. I have a supernatural religion. I've got the only God, the only religion there are, where God actually lives in me. In me. I don't know about you. So if you leave your reasoning at the door when standing before God, and it's, and I've confessed it, it's probably the hardest thing that we can do because we are reasoning individuals. And we received this knowledge of good and evil 6,000 years ago. And so we reason everything. We become our own gods. And that's why men can't pray as they ought, the Bible says in Romans 8. Alfred Lord Tennyson, he penned many years ago, I believe it had to do with the charge of the Light Brigade, if you know anything about that. And he said, Ours not to reason why. Ours but to do and die. And that's what we should do when we enter the tabernacle, when we enter the presence of God, anything that we, when we open the Bible. It's not for us to reason why, but such obedience can only come by faith. Now, in Christ, faith leads all things. It's the leading edge of everything to do with Christ Jesus is faith. Now, and listen, faith needs no proof. We know what faith is, Hebrews 11. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith needs no proof. I read a quote by an early church father, and he said, I believe Christ died for me because it is incredible. I believe that he arose from the dead because it's impossible. Amen. Faith precedes all else in Scripture, in all things. I believe this book, this King James Bible, to be the preserved word of God. You say, how so? And men have, and I could come with many arguments, and I have in times past. But in truth, I need no argument at all. I believe that the King James Bible is preserved, inerrant, inspired, preserved. It's the word of God. I believe it is God. Say, so how do I, by faith? By faith. I need not argument or scholarship concerning the matter. I believe it's the very first revelation that God ever gave to me. Long before I was truly converted, some almost 50 years ago. There was no reason for me to believe that this book, this king, was the word of God. But it came to me. This is the word of God. I never questioned that. I still don't. I've never one time questioned that this is not the Word of God. It's the Word of God. If it's not to you, that's fine. You go on and believe. You have your faith. I have my faith, you see. As sure as God is God, it's the Word of God. Else I'm left to what? Man's reasoning. Man's scholarship. Man's education and the like. Once I lay aside my thoughts and reasoning, now listen, revelation is had. Anytime I've got my two cents in there, I can't receive. I've got to clear that thing out. I've got to clean that thing out, and then I can receive revelation. It's the same when I open this book. Well, I think I'll go to this book and I'll prove this, or I've got to win this argument and I've got to make this point like a debate. No, I don't have to do any. Matter of fact, if you do that, you're going to lose. You're going to lose everything. How could Noah's going to build a boat? I read somewhere, I think he was 6 miles from the closest water. I don't know how they get that. I don't even know where the water was. Not sure where the boat was. Mesopotamia, I don't know. Doesn't matter. We've got a whole chapter of faith. Abraham went and didn't know where he was going. I've preached on that many, many times. The first thing to be like kids, well, where are we going? Well, when are we going to get there? Well, what are we going to do when we get there? No, that's not faith. You know, in this book, you know, election is in this book. God's holy election of some for salvation, some for damnation. It's in the book. And all the crying of free will or unfairness or not being equal, they can't change it. They can't remove it. It's there. It's what's in the book. It's in here. Hell, hate, blood, violence, death, they're all in here. The coming destruction of this earth as by fire, it's in here. And Peter said, knowing this first, it's not of any private interpretation. Don't you get thinking about it. Let it go. You say, how do you know God? Well, because he said. That's all I need to know. God ordered and he carried out in this book the death of countless men, women, and children. He opened the earth and he took children into the pit. You say, well, that's a mean-spirited God. That's a great, no, that's God. And if you can't receive that, if you can't accept that, let it go and go down the road, get your own God. Which you already got, it'd be you, you say. Ours not to reason why. An example stands upon its own merit. And especially so in the Word of God. As does our faith. As does our fear of God. Now, there's a revelation of great hope to the man of God. I'd like to just look at a few. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 through verse 16, I know there's quite a few verses, but I know no other way to parry this. He said, but as it is written, I hath not, now look, I have not seen or ear heard, and I have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. You're going to try to explain that? But God hath revealed unto us by what? His Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man, knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. We know all that. They teach it in colleges. They teach it in the primary schools. And men teach it in trades and such. We know those things. That's the things of man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. When a man wants to argue and tell you and this is the he doesn't have the Spirit of God. He's got the spirit of man. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words, look, which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. And they are. I've been preaching it for 35 years. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And then you turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through verse 20. He said, little children. Now look, here we are. Little children, it's the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. I was looking this morning. There's a patent that Bill Gates has out, and the last three numbers of the patent are 060606. And then they have a house referendum, a house bill that's out to try to bring all these things upon us, these vaccinations and coming into our homes. And it's House Bill 6666. I don't know. Ours is not the reason why. You see? Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out. How many? Those of you here that, with me that have watched them come and go? Man, some of them walk with us for years. 5-6 years. You know where they are now? They're like satellites. They're like boats adrift. No steerage. No power. Why, they don't even have a sail. They're just floating. They went out from us, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They weren't a part of us. He said, but ye, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, do you? Hebrews chapter 12, that's our life. I pray it's your life. It's our walk. It's our finish. And he tells us in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We must never forget this great cloud of witnesses, this great heavenly host that surrounds us at every moment of every hour. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, have faith. Knowing this first, you see. Christ himself said, did you know he said, we shall be as the angels? How are we going to be? We're going to be married. What are we going to do up there? He said, don't you know that you're going to be as angels? And he uses the word immortal. He said, son, you're going to be as the angels, immortal. How? If we continue. If we finish the race that's set before us. Peter, know this first. He said, I tell you as I tell you now. Peter was all about remembrance. He said, Brother, I'm telling you this to put you in remembrance. And if you don't believe that they'll forget, just look about you. Those that have passed through, man, they heard the truth. And that thing, they went on, you see. Or as I used to preach, where are they? Where are they? Man, I can look back over 20 years of Tabernacle and I can see them. I can see exactly where they sat. I can look out at those pews. Y'all had a different view. But I had the view of the whole, and I look out and they used to sit there and that's where they sat. And now the place is gone. They're no longer there. Where are they? And they went out from us. Why? They were not of us. You see, I don't like that. Some of them were loved ones. Some of them were parents. Some of them were children. It's God. It's the way it is. Had they been, they'd have continued. You remember when the Lord, he looked around, he said, you leave also? And now are you going to leave? Has the way become too hard? Peter said, who would we go? Where would we go? I don't know where I would go. I don't know where I'd go. I'm here. It's where God put me. If you're here, I pray it's because that's where God put you. But the masses, they cry numbers, numbers. It's all about numbers. I've come to know that perhaps you might go a whole lifetime, but for a few, maybe one. So I'm asking you to cast aside all natural thought concerning God. I know it's not easy. Most of all here, we're educated. We're not illiterate. We weren't raised in a box. But we have to cast aside all natural thought concerning God. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. It's what God told me when he told me to leave Tennessee. He said, son, lean not to your own understanding and give no thought for the morrow. Those are just Bible verses, but you think about it. You think about just today. Try to go just today and lean not to your understanding. And try to give no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Know this first, son. It's not your interpretation. It's not my interpretation. Lean not to your own understanding and give no thought for tomorrow. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Had nothing to do with man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now listen, hear me now. If you've not the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. And you can't do these things in the natural. We just read scriptures attesting to such. You can't do that in the natural. This is the word of God. I tell you that your life and this book be parallel, or you don't know him and he doesn't know you. John. Peter said, know this first and last. You know what you know first to last? End amen. Amen. Alpha and Omega. Okay? That which is not of faith is what? It's sin. John. Hey. Faith leads all and it needs no proof. That's what makes our religion different. It's what makes us different. What makes us immortal. Hope that is not seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. That's not hope. How do you get water from a rock? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I read a quote. It said, the most common sense that we share, because everybody, and I used to be that way, man. I used to question Brother James, St. John, all that, man. But I've got this horse sense. I've got this common sense, and tells me to get in and out of the rain. Well, he said, walk naked. The most common sense that we share as humans is our own evil selfishness. That's our most common sense. Is that we shall be as gods, and we do everything for our own selfishness. The sense that's common to lost man is but the knowledge of good and evil, and it comes not from God, nor is it of faith. And thus comes private interpretation of Scripture, just like all things. Everybody wants to give their opinion. Friend, know this first. Then all else shall come. Our understanding, it blurs the vision that God has for us. Lean not to your own understanding. It's all right here if you've got the eyes and ears for it. He said, ye shall know all things if you'll know this first.